Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Mike Brilla, host of the Inspired Teacher Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, music teacher friend, I want to let you know about a free guide called 5 Steps to Simplifying Your Lesson Planning. We know as an elementary music teacher how stressful it can be planning lessons every single week for all the grade levels you teach that need to meet the state or national standards, that will reach different learning styles, and that are also fun and engaging for your students. If you've had thoughts like, am I doing this whole lesson planning thing right? Then check out this guide. It will help you with lesson planning with ease. So simply head to subscribe.thedomesticmusician.com/simplifying lesson planning or check out the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I am joined today by Franklin Willis. He came on the podcast all the way back in April 2020, which it's crazy to think about that. We were talking that was the month after COVID, which what in the world? But anyways, so glad to have him back. I consider Franklin a personal friend. We finally got to meet in person in Philly in August. So cool. Yes. So yay. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm so happy to be back on the podcast. And congratulations on all your success since the last time we chatted and all of the wonderful things you've done and the master's degree. Just so excited for your growth and your success. So I'm happy to be here to chat with you again.
Oh my gosh, same. And we're going to be talking about more than a music teacher. And I thought the same thing. We have known each other for a while and just seeing your success and the path, the journey that your path has taken has just been so cool to watch. It just is, you're just a perfect example of just putting one foot in front of the other. Doors will open and just consistency is that when people ask for advice about how do you get in the online spirit, I was like, for me, it's just been consistency, continuing to show up even on the days I don't want to. Ooh. And just, I mean, that for me is the word, I guess, is consistency. Yeah. Do you feel that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Because I can remember, I mean, I guess right when we did our podcast is when I finally like took the jump to say, you know what, I'm going to do this online like business model of creating curriculum and lessons for teachers. And it was really slow. It was crickets. It was a lot of no's, a lot of rejection, a lot of disappointment. And I just said, you know, I really believe in what I do and what I offer, not only to students, teachers, but to music education as a whole. And I just put my head down and kept trucking. And, you know, a follower here, a teacher inspired there, a resource that really hit home for, you know, a school community. And then word of mouth takes shape and form.
Yeah.
And it's truly been a journey and one that has continuous ups and continuous downs. Mm-hmm. I try to remind myself not to get too low. And then at the same time, not to get too high, because, I mean, as you know, social media is like you're hot and then you're not.
Oh, my gosh.
And so trying to just find my voice and what I feel comfortable speaking on and things that matter to me has been really the point of success for me, mm-hmm. is just finding my voice. And yeah. if it relates to you and it hits home, wonderful. If it's not your cup of tea, that's great too. But just really truly leaning into who I am as a music teacher, as a musician, and really storytelling is mm-hmm. it's really what it's been for me. It's kind of like it's a business page, but it's also my personal page. I know yeah. some people have two different pages and you know, they don't share their lives or beyond just music teaching, which I totally get.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say, man, maybe I'm sharing too much. But I always come back to this, you know, what my newest book is about, my newest children's book is more than a music teacher. It's about what I do outside of the classroom as well, who makes me who I am. Yes, I love teaching music. I love inspiring children. I love working with teachers. But, you know, on a Sunday, I want to ride my bike.
Right.
You know? So this children's book is really focused on the lives of music teachers outside the classroom. And I have four teacher models in the book. And people are asking me, is it about specific teachers? It's a combination of many people that I've met, mentors who have impacted me, and just telling their story of how music impacted their lives, but then also how they thrive outside of the classroom. And so I think it's so important that teachers understand that we are not just teaching, mm-hmm. right? We're not just teachers, that we bring all of that with us into the classroom, into our experiences, and to how we show up. And I think it's important that students know that too, right? They see us yeah. at the schoolhouse, and they see us when they get there, they see us when we leave. But what about all this other time where we're not at the schoolhouse?
Right.
And so it was a fun project to work on this year. It's one of those things that I'm just happy that it's out. Now, the marketing piece of it, I still have to, you know, do my due diligence there. But this November has just been about being grateful and just like being happy. Of course, we always want more. We want to sell more. We want it to be more visible.
Yeah.
But I'm just really leaning into like, man, you've done a lot.
Yeah.
Be grateful and happy with what you've done and yeah. leaning into that.
I relate to you so much because I used to have two Instagram accounts, personal, business. And I was like, I can't keep up with this. It became too much. So people probably don't like seeing pictures of my dogs all the time or my children or me posting a picture of one of them at baseball.
Right.
Sometimes people don't care, but I know other people that they'll relate that story back to me of like, oh yeah, your youngest son plays baseball, right? And I'm like, how'd you know that? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing to share, but sometimes those personal connections is what helps people get to know you better. But you're right. It's a personal decision. But as we're talking about this, I've encouraged the music teachers I work with, especially, and you and I have had this conversation, struggling with classroom management and relationship building. And I am always surprised at how many teachers, maybe I'm just like you, I'm just so honest and blunt, and I was with my students, that I never even thought twice about telling them about my life and my likes and my dislikes and putting pictures up. And but I find out some teachers don't do that. So I encourage them, you don't have to share everything.
Right.
But when your students know about you more than just you're the teacher, you know, the talking head at the front of the room, but they know a little bit about you, they're able to connect with you more. Would you agree
Absolutely.
With that?
Absolutely. I started my career off, you know, don't smile to November.
Yeah.
Hardcore, strict.
Yes.
This is the rules. This is the procedures. And it took me about 6 to 7 years to realize that, wait a minute, I'm not really being me. Students aren't really getting to figure out who Mr. Willis is until March. When I've let up and I've lightened up and I'm smiling, that's not right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had to switch how I started off the school year. And I told a friend this, it really was truly when we had our son. Mm-hmm. And I told other folks, the kids, about, you know, my wife is pregnant. She's 4 months, she's 5 months. And when we had the baby, I can remember calling my principal and she's like, send me pictures. The kids are asking for pictures. Aww. And so when I came back from leave, I had gifts from students where they have drawn cards and they had, you know, Christmas presents. And I mean, all of these things. And it's because I shared a part of me with them that they could connect to. They had a little brother or a little sister. And, you know, some of them were like, hey, I don't have a little sister, but Edward is now my little Aww. Brother. So it's like those connections. So when I came back into the classroom, I just wasn't a music teacher to my kids. And they now saw me as a dad. They saw me as a provider. They saw me as a husband. And so all of these things, they enter into the identity of who we are as music teachers. So I always encourage music teachers at the beginning of the year or even after a break, like share with them a picture of you playing an instrument or in high school band or in choir so that they can see like you used to be them.
Yeah.
I used to be a student in class learning music and my teacher inspired me, or there was this teacher that really prompted me to begin in music. When they see that, they understand that duality that exists, that wait a minute, you're a teacher, but you were a student too? Mm-hmm. Especially for our elementary babies, yeah. right? They just think that they just came to school and we're just, voila, we're teachers. And it's like, yeah. no, it's a whole journey. It's an adventure. It's a path that I had to take. And there were steps along the way that I had to go through to be where I am today. Right. And so those conversations are so rich because then you can say, what is it that you want to do? Who do you want to become? You can start practicing who you want to become right now. In the music classroom, you can start doing that right now. You want to be a lawyer. You want to be, you know, talking to people. You want to be in politics. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk. I'm going to give you an opportunity to lead. And so those are the things that mean the most to me when I get to work with young teachers is saying, yes, you're the teacher. You're in control of these kids. You got to make sure they're safe, right? All of these things. But then once we get past that, how do they really get to know you? How can you build authentic relationships where students feel seen, heard, appreciated, and understood? And to me, that once we get to that point, music making is easy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The music part comes naturally, at least for me, it did. And then the student-centered piece is when that ownership takes place. So I'm not just teaching, and it's not all about the music for me. It's about my students and what they can bring to the table and how we can create and reimagine and do this whole piece of music in such a new way that I didn't have anything to do with.
Right.
I just facilitated their instruction. So I encourage all teachers, not just music teachers, share your story with your kids, because then that gives them like a whole new perspective of who you are.
Yeah, for sure. I want to dive deeper into this, but before we do, I want you to share your story because I failed to have you introduce yourselves to those who maybe did not hear you on the podcast. So talk about who you are, what do you do in your journey from music education, from going from the classroom to what you're doing now.
It has been, wow. I'm going to do the short version because as you see, Franklin is long-winded. So I started in elementary music in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a graduate of the University of Memphis, and where I worked with Dr. Nicole Robinson and Connie Saliba, who were my mentors. And during my student teaching, I had the wonderful experience of student teaching with Anthony Richardson, who was an elementary music master teacher, a Black man, born in Memphis, raised in Memphis. And I walked into his space and my whole world was just like turned upside down. To see him teach his masterful, just student connections to the flexibility in his lesson. He knew when to shift, when things weren't going right. He knew how to improvise in the moment, give students opportunity for creativity, all of that. And so through that experience, I knew I wanted to teach elementary music, but then my high school placement was with Galen Robinson, who is a Memphis, legend at this point. He taught at Central High School, and another Black man who really showed me what excellence is in music education through his leadership, his musicianship, and just how he was himself with mm-hmm. students and teachers. So that was my student teaching experience. And it was just, it's one that I'll never forget, because I was able to see myself in these two men, not only just as musicians, but also as educators and what that meant for their communities. Mm. So I taught in Memphis a year, and then I moved back home to Nashville and taught elementary music here. Thought I was going to change the world. I was excited to come and do this new thing. I started this after-school choir, and we sang around town. It was really fun, my second year. And at the time, the music supervisor said, Franklin, there's a new middle school opening up, and what you've been able to do with this after-school choir, I think if you had choir all throughout the year and every day, you could really do some amazing things. And I'm like, me, middle school? No, I'm not doing middle school. And she was like, I got you. I'm going to be there every step of the way. And boom, I was teaching middle school general music and choir in a portable outside. It was some of the most tough days, but then some of the most rewarding days working with the students out there at that middle school for 2 years. And one of the biggest things that I took away from there is music can happen anywhere. Music takes place in community, and these young people poured into me and I poured into them, and we were able to do some incredible things that folks that didn't expect. It was a non-audition choir. You just come and sing, you sign up, and we ended up going to state and got superior ratings and all of that. But it wasn't even that that was so cool. It was the connections. And many of those students are still tight to this day because of choir. But then I moved back to Memphis. My wife finished her master's degree, taught another year of middle school choir. And then we was like, okay, we had enough of Memphis, and moved back to Nashville.
Oh, gosh.
So that was a 1 year jump, hip, hop, and skip back. And came back to Nashville and taught more middle school general music. That's kind of where I thought I wanted to be. And I went to an ORF training workshop. And it's been years since I've been to one, but we sang, we danced, we played instruments, we chanted. It was just a ball of fun. And at that moment I said, okay, I gotta go back to elementary music. I'm ready to dive all the way back in. And ended up back at this elementary school and was able to revitalize that program. Did an after school choir. My students sang all around Nashville. And I guess this piece of the story is really important, because one of the places we sang was at the CMA Fest, which is a 4-day festival of country music here in Nashville that is one of the longest, is the longest running music, country music festival in the country. Yeah. And we got invited by the CMA Foundation and Carrie Underwood to come sing her song Champion in Nissan Stadium, which is the biggest stage that you could sing on here in Nashville. And my students came and they sang that, killed it. It was amazing. The parents were there. One of the most memorable nights that I've had. And I ended up being a CMA Foundation Music Teacher of Excellence, right? So yeah. Hold that piece.
Yeah.
So then a position that was created for our district of the instructional coach. And everybody's like, Franklin, you should apply. I'm like, no, I'm not going to apply. I don't know if I'm ready to coach. You know, what about the teachers who don't want me in their classroom? I don't feel like I know enough, you know, all of these things.
Yep.
I applied, had a wonderful interview with the administration team, and got hired to be the instructional coach for all elementary music in Nashville, Tennessee. And that role led me into like really developing my curriculum voice, developing and curating professional development sessions for teachers. Because at this point I had been able to see what only I was doing in the room. And I considered what I was doing like to be okay, right? But right. then when I started going to other classrooms, I started seeing classroom management issues. I started seeing teachers just not being culturally aware or sensitive to who is in their classroom. I started seeing breakdown in communication with the administration and teachers. I started seeing trouble with lesson planning. What is a lesson plan? I've never wrote one. What does it look like? They didn't make me do that in college. Mm. So all of these things that come fairly simple to me, I started seeing that there was such a need for teachers to get the training, get the understanding. And so for the past 2 or 3 years, yeah, I was the instructional coach. Loved it. Even through virtual teaching, pandemic, it was a blast. And this summer, there was a position open at the CMA Foundation. And I looked at the job description and it was exactly what I wanted to do, which mm-hmm. was to advocate for music education on a national level, to provide school districts with access to funding, to have a voice in policy decisions, especially when it comes to music teachers and teachers of color and recruiting and retaining teachers. And so for the past 4 months, I've been serving as the community impact director with the CMA Foundation, which has opened my eyes to the nonprofit world, to education in a whole new realm of how things are made, how things get done, who has conversations, who's in those conversations, and what do you say in those conversations so that you can be heard and that you can speak up for the people who are not in the room. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a whirlwind of 4 months. I can't believe it's been 4 months, but I've also learned just about the music business, marketing, PR, video content creation. So I've been able to just kind of take a deep dive into all things music business, songwriting, connecting with artists, artist development and relations. And it has been a joy to learn so much. And I told a friend today that it's sometimes good to be uncomfortable because that's when you're going to learn and be stretched. Yeah. And there had got a point in time in elementary music, I could just be comfortable. Mm. I knew it. I knew how to get kids excited. I know the language that they need to hear. But now I'm having to be the new person in the room and to see what it feels like. So in essence, I'm a student again.
Yeah.
I bring all this experience and knowledge, but I also realize that I have so much to learn. And then on the part-time, I am still teaching at Vanderbilt University, working with their undergraduate students in music ed majors. So I get to still flex my teaching muscle and work with students and prepare them for the field. But it's been a whirlwind of just learning and growing and just being thankful for the opportunities to get to serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, you're the perfect example of one door opening leads to another opening leads to the, and you never know when those doors will open. You just trusted the path and you just kept following it, even with hesitation. And like you said, you didn't know how to do it all, but you're going to learn as you go. And so I love that. I love it. Your story is just so awesome. So those of you listening, you know, you could stay in your classroom for 30 years and that's awesome. We need music teachers in the classroom setting, but your path may take some twists and turns. And I always get asked that too. Did you know you'd be a business owner? I'm like, no, I thought I'd be in the elementary music classroom for 30 years. Right. And that's, and like, literally, like, this is never in a million years what I thought I'd be doing. And I feel that too, where, you know, I've been coaching teachers now for 7 years online, but they, but now I have some new opportunities for curriculum development and professional development stuff and things like that, that I'm like, this is new to me, but it's stretching me. So there are still growth opportunities that happen even outside the classroom. Yeah. So I love that you said that. Okay, so you've talked about what it means to be more than a music teacher and why it's important. So what do you feel happens when students don't truly know the person behind their music teacher?
Wow.
That's a deep question.
That's so deep. I mean, in an essence, I'm not going to, if I'm speaking as a student, mm-hmm. I'm not going to come in and be my authentic self and be true to me because you're not doing it. Mm. Right. And so I like to tell teachers, let's practice what we preach. Right. So, for instance, we may tell students, I want you to show up. I want you to be excited to learn. I want you to sit up tall, like all of these like prerequisites that we put in front of students. And then we don't even do that same thing. Yeah. Right. Or we say we want you to treat each other the way you want to be treated. And we want students to feel welcome. But then we don't talk to our colleagues, or when we do, we have bad things to say. Or when I'm in the teacher's lounge, I'm in the teacher's lounge involved in all the mess and all the drama. But then I come in and I want to teach and be like happy and excited. Our students pick up on all of that. Mm-hmm. They pick up, they're watching our body language. They're watching how we speak to each other or how we don't speak to each other. And then they mimic what they see. And so for me, it became so evident that everything that I do and everything that I am, I have to make sure that my students truly see who I am and yeah. what I do. And that's hard to do because I know we're taught that we're not supposed to, like you got to have your teacher hat on and you got to mm-hmm. just stay in that role. And I'm a disruptor. I'm a natural disruptor. I don't mean to be a disruptor, but sometimes me just showing up in a space is just disrupting the whole way of tradition and how things are done. And I'm specifically thinking about my last school that I served in, where I asked the principal, have y'all ever hired a Black man before? Mm. And she said, you know what, Franklin? I don't know. Like, I don't know the last time there was a Black man. So that told me everything, like all of this energy that I was feeling was like, well, there it is.
Yeah.
Many of the parents, they've never had a Black man teaching their child, right? They've never had a student, never had a Black man as a teacher.
Yeah.
So in the midst of me understanding and breaking through all of that, this is an opportunity for both of us to learn, right? This is an opportunity for you to see that what the notion or the stereotype that you may have had about Black men are not true. Welcome to my world and to my perspective. And then I'm giving you an opportunity to connect with me and learn from me so that in the future, when you see another Black man, when you have another Black teacher, you're able to make some connections and you're able to understand the different perspectives. So for me, it became very evident that that's what my... where I could really step in and lean into and shine the most, because students could say, you know what? One thing about Mr. Willis is he's going to be real with us. He's going to tell us the truth and we're going to know exactly where he stands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it ended up being like really great. And students were able to have, tough conversations. We're able to have those sensitive conversations where we can share, you know, things that we might not share outside the classroom. But because we built that safe space together, that allowed for us to think, to dream, to create in sync with each other.
Yeah. So what would you say to a teacher who is wanting to let their students know them better or know about them better? And either the pushback is, I don't have enough time in my classroom. I have to fit so much in during a class period. So I don't have enough time to share about my story and who I am as a person. Yeah. Or like you've already mentioned, they're afraid of not being strict enough or, you know, having enough rules and being like, you know, viewed as a air quote friend. What would you give advice? I know you've probably been asked this before too. It's like, well, how do I do it? So what do you say to that?
So an easy place to start is just with like your hobbies or even a favorite song that you're listening to right now. Hey class, before we get started, I want to check in with y'all. Can you tell me a song that you've been listening to lately that makes you feel good? Raise your hand if you have a song. And then they share that song and then you say, you know what? Here's my song. Have you heard this song before? And maybe it's a song that you can play for kids And you play it at the end of the class session and say, you know that song I told y'all at the beginning of the class? Here's what it sounds like. Can you move your body to the steady beat? Could you come up with some movement to go with this song? And then next week, I'll choose one of your songs. So it's as simple as that for me, for building authenticity and sharing your passion or sharing about you to your students. Also, favorite colors, right? Favorite food that you like to eat. What's your favorite holiday, maybe? All of these things, they're easy to implement by just telling your students. I'm not asking you to have a therapy session with your kids, right? There's a therapist for that. But I am saying, introduce them to who you are. What makes you go? What keeps you excited? Why are you a music teacher, right? Some of the most important conversations was when I told my choir kids, in almost tears, and I probably did cry, but I'm just going to say I didn't, was why I signed up to be a music teacher, right? Because I had music teachers that impacted me in such strong ways that I knew that this is what was the calling for my life and the purpose of my life. And so when we're singing songs, it's not just the notes on the page.
Right.
I'm singing a song that is an experience that has led me to where I am right now working with you. It's a dream come true. And so when you sing, you let me know, you affirm that my dream was not in vain. So when I hear you all sing together, that's what that means to me. So when my students heard that, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. By me just singing is making your dream come true? It's way more than music. And so that is the piece that I think if we communicate with our students, and it happens sometimes in the spur of the moment. It might not even be planned, but it's also being free with yourself and free to understand the moment. Mm-hmm. And when you understand those moments, it connects back to your teaching. And everything is just a full cycle. It's a full circle. And that's where I began to operate later on in my career, like year 10 and year 11, was because I understood that, okay, I'm taking 10 minutes to talk about favorite TV shows and what you're listening to. So I took 10 minutes out of that lesson. They maybe didn't get the concept, but we're walking away knowing each other. Mm-hmm. We're walking away feeling good as a community. So forget that 10 minutes of the concept, right?
Right.
Forget the standards and the objectives.
Absolutely.
That moment needed to happen. And so now I can tie that back into my standards and objective in the next lesson.
Mm-hmm. And this is something they don't teach you in college. Oh, you know, no. It is like write a 10-page lesson plan and classroom management and objective standards, concepts, blah, 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 which all that's important, 100%. Absolutely. But it was one of those things for me too, where I learned as I went, and it was, I realized the importance of getting to know my students. Yeah. And the importance of not filling up every single minute and leaving open space in the lessons to have those natural conversations that will arise. And so I tell teachers too, leave like a five, like if you have 45 minutes, plan 40 of it, plan 38 of it, leave intentional open time. And you won't always have conversations that come up, but most of the time you do. But if not, have like some filler activities in your back pocket to, you know, put there. But yeah, I think it's important to leave some open space, because kids are going to naturally ask you questions. Or my favorite is like the littles, kinder first, will sing a song or, you know, do a speech piece. And then they have a story about, let's say it's about some kind of food. All of a sudden, everybody wants to tell you what they had for dinner. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't have this plan today. I didn't have time for this. That kind of stuff will happen. And so you want to let them feel heard and valued. And so I love that you said that. And just them, you giving them the time to do that with you, it's going to help your teaching go further than you ever realized or imagined it could go, because your students, like you said, connect with you and they're going to want to learn in your classroom and can keep learning from you because they know that you value what they have to say. So these are things, and I hope it's changed a little bit now. Maybe you can, you know, you're in the college setting and helping undergrads, but I know my college experience, well, this is something they didn't really touch on. And I'm like, why did you not get into this more? It drove me crazy. So
one thing I have learned being in the college realm for 2 years now is, and I have reached out to my professors and apologized because there is not enough time to cover all of the things that they need to get. That's and true. So you have to decide as a professor, once again, as a teacher, what is something that you truly want them to leave with and to understand, right? And so, you know, in elementary music, of course, you got your recorder, you got your movement, you got, but you can't do any of that if you don't have any structure.
Right.
And you don't have any classroom management. So I can share all these fun activities with y'all every week. But if we don't talk about how to set the environment and begin to make community, if we don't talk about what that looks like, what that sounds like, how do students enter your room on day one? When you got 45 kids being dropped off at you and you're only supposed to have 20, but the other teacher didn't show up. So what are you going to do?
Yes.
So I've been able to like kind of create a curriculum where we give them a little of what they need, but then also giving them the fun stuff and the things that they may want. But I've totally have had so much, like, I apologize, just a humble, because it's so much. You have 15 weeks to fill all this in, and it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so what I tell them is, this is the first step of becoming a music educator. This is your journey. Don't let your learning stop here. And even our veteran teachers, don't let your learning stop, you know, because you've been teaching for 12 years or 13 or 20 years. It's a continuous journey. And it's always something that we can add to our toolbox to become better for our young people.
Yeah. We have touched on so much today. So is there anything that you want to share that maybe we haven't covered about helping a music educator be more than a music teacher?
I just want to tell music teachers to lean into your creativity and the things that really, really make you feel warm, that make you smile, that may not even have anything to do with music, right? Or maybe it has everything to do with music. Many of us had to have an instrument to get this degree, and we leave that instrument behind to pursue the teaching of music. And so I encourage you to pick up that instrument, even if it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and just find what lights your fire, what ignites your passion outside of the classroom, because then that will give you the energy to kind of come back and say, you know what, this is why I signed up to do this. And so it hopefully leads you back to your why, and you can continue to pour into young people, pour into teachers and your colleagues. But yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today. Let everybody know where they can connect with you after the episode.
All right, everybody. I'm Franklin Willis. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at F. Willis Music. My website is www.fwillismusic.com. And I'll be posting updates there. You can find information about what I'm doing, where I'm at, and what's going on in my world.
Yay. Okay. So we will include all that in the show notes. Thank you so much, friend, for coming back on the podcast. I've loved this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.